20.
Buy you a book!
A one-of-a-kind bookstore.
There are still companies that care. Companies that have your back. Companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
6:06, welcome back. Welcome to hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show here on KGYM 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. Also heard on 106.3 FM in Iowa City and on 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com along for the ride until 7 o'clock tonight. Plenty more to get to. It is the big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his staff in business for 14, going on 15 years there in Iowa City. We appreciate their sponsorship of the third and final hour of our Friday programming. And it's a good one. We'll talk Iowa and Purdue. 11 a.m. tip-off tomorrow at Carver Hawkeye Arena as Iowa looks to, pick up an emotional victory following the 25th anniversary of Chris Street's passing. We're also going to chat a little Hawkeye football. Here we had originally talked most of the week about having Sean Welsh on with us ahead of the Senior Bowl trip, and Sean had to pull an audible tonight. So, Rob, I'll let you do the honors. We were calling this or referring to it as a mystery hawk with us at 6 o'clock tonight, but we got somebody to take the bait and say yes, so I'll let you do the introduction.
He was the guy we really wanted all along anyway. Don't be fooled out there. So
it's like a coaching search. You're right. Everybody always winds up with the guy that they wanted.
He was number one on our list. Nathan Budgeta. Former Hawkeye. How does that sound, Nate, that you're a former Hawkeye? Has that sunk in yet?
Yeah, it did. Coming back from break and actually not working out with the guys again, just kind of felt a little weird there, but yeah.
What's up with you now? Obviously you're going to take your shot at the NFL. What are you doing, at this point right now to get yourself ready?
Right now, we just came back for our first week of training with Coach Doyle. My first workout was on Monday, and it's kind of just an introductory week, just kind of getting back into lifting, and then starting next week as we start some speed work and kind of reps for bench and stuff like that. So, right now, it's just all about getting stronger and faster and right before we get to pro day in a couple months.
Does the workout differ getting you ready for pro day in the NFL than what you did in college with Coach Doyle, or is it pretty much the same?
It's pretty much the same for speed work and stuff like that, but we're going to be doing a lot more reps to get our endurance up for the bench press, obviously. So that will differ, but other than that, pretty much the same.
A lot was made of the bowl losing streak, and it seemed like you guys were kind of carrying that on your shoulders a little bit. What was that like out, in New York? We were out there with you guys to finally get that monkey off your back.
It was just incredible. None of us experienced a bowl win before. So being able to do that for Coach Ferentz and just for the whole Iowa Hawkeye program was just incredible. And just celebrating with your friend or with your teammates in the locker room was just a memory that I'll never forget and brings just kind of chills to me speaking about it right now. Just being able to do that.
Now, I've never been to your hometown of Howells, Nebraska, but I'm guessing it's a long way, literally and figuratively, from New York City. What was that experience like for you at the Pinstripe Bowl?
It's a long trip, but it was just incredible going, and we went to the 9/11 Memorial, and just being in the city, just I've never been to New York City, and coming from a town of 500 people, It's a little adjustment to get used to. So, I mean, it was just incredible. Got to see Times Square and Rockefeller Center, the Rockettes, and it was just pretty amazing experience. And then just something that that I'll never forget is the 9/11 memorial. Seeing that, I mean, when 9/11 happened, I would have been a first grader, so just getting to know more of the history about it and just seeing some of the incredible things there was something that I'll never forget.
When you came to Iowa, obviously, I think you picked Iowa over South Dakota State. You're another one of those stories of Reese Morgan getting in his car and finding a guy out in the middle of nowhere. What kind of were your goals when you got to college and you know, when you got into the program, what made you be able to succeed as somebody that a lot of schools didn't really even look at?
I mean, just even in high school, I had the mentality that every day I'm going to come to work and give it everything I have and just do my best. And ever since I stepped on campus, that's what I wanted to do, or that's what I've done. And it paid off for me in the end. And I always had a goal to be a 3-4 year starter and play in big games and be able to win big games. And I mean, just the hard work put into that, and Coach Doyle along my side, bringing me along with my strength and conditioning, obviously. And it's been an incredible time here at Iowa, and all the mentors that I had was just incredible. So I'm just thankful for them and where they put me in the position. So,
former Hawkeye Nathan Budgeta joining us on the program. Reese Morgan talked a lot about recruiting you and the process of finding you in high school. What was your relationship like with him? And do you remember the first time that you crossed paths with him?
Yeah, I mean, our relationship were pretty close, because he recruited me and being my position coach. And I mean, the first time I think I crossed paths with him was my sophomore year, maybe. He was actually coming to the school and recruiting two older kids. And so I kind of met him there, and then I ended up going to a spring ball, and it just kind of took off from there. And he told me, this would have been my junior year, he told me that he started recruiting us because we would always go out to a team camp in Shatter, Nebraska. And there was their O-line coach, actually, he would go to Iowa and study. And this O-line coach told Coach Morgan that, hey, you got to look at these three kids. And that's how he got wind of us. And I thought it was kind of cool, just him finding us out of the middle of nowhere. And now, like, look where I'm at. And, I mean, it's just been incredible.
Tough end to your junior year, Nate, and you know, kind of had a lot to go through at the end of that, and then through last spring. What were those injuries like to go through, and how tough was that to get back on the field?
I mean, it was tough my junior year. I got injured in a Wisconsin game, and my role changed. I realized I wasn't going to be able to go out there every snap, and I actually faced Ikakity started ahead of me, and I realized, hey, my role is I'm now the guy that has to give them breaks. And I just kind of took it and ran with that. And even if I could give them a play or two just off here and there, I mean, I realized I wasn't going to be the same going back in. And then in the off spring, I kind of thought I was turning the corner, and then just like that, I had another injury, and it just put me out until the middle of July. And I just had to stay strong mentally. I mean, taking an injury kind of brings you down a little bit, and you got to just decide whether am I going to put in the work to get better, to get on the field, or or am I just going to mope around and let that take over, and you're not going to heal moping around? So,
one of the big memories that I'll take away from your time at Iowa was you coming into the post-game interview room after the Nebraska game this year, and the smile that was on your face, and obviously that big win over the Huskers meant a lot to you. But did you hear a lot from friends and family over the holidays after that game?
Yeah, actually, I went home right after the game, and they weren't too happy on the radio over there with me throwing up their crossbones, so I just kind of got a kick out of that, and just a lot of my family just thought it was just amazing going over there twice in a row, and or three times in a row if you want to count my redshirt year, and just kind of handing it to them, and it just kind of meant a lot for me, just coming from the state of Nebraska and being a Hawkeye. It's just been incredible. So,
a lot of intrigue, I think, surrounds A.J. Epinesa. He kind of came in with a lot of fanfare and seemed like he settled in with you guys this year and wasn't big time or anything like that. What did you see from him this year, and what does the future hold, at least in your mind, for somebody with that much of natural ability?
I mean, coming in, we knew that he was going to be advanced in his technique and just his knowledge of the game. He started out getting a few plays here and there, and then as the season went on, you could see him really take steps forward and grow with his knowledge and just his ability. And, for his future, I think there's no limits on him when you're – a 6'4" and just have that athletic ability. It's going to come down to whether he wants to do it or not. And I believe just knowing him for 6 months, 7 months, I think he can do whatever he wants. So he's just that kind of athlete. And as long as he's got the right mindset, which I think he does, he'll be a tremendous.
What about the rest of the young guys on the line? Anybody that caught your attention over the last couple weeks?
What's that? Sorry, you're cutting
out.
Oh,
sorry about that. Just the other young guys on the defensive line. Anybody catch your eye this year in practice?
I would have to say for the D tackle position, Brady Reef and Cedric Lattimore and also Garrett Jansen. They were in sub packages, Brady and Garrett, and I just watching them every game going in and every week. It just the amount of improvement they were making was just awesome. And it's going to be up to those guys and Matt Nelson in the middle. And I think they have a good group to stop the runs up the middle. So.
Well, Nate, we appreciate you joining us in a pinch tonight, and best of luck as you continue working out with Coach Doyle, and hopefully you'll get to take that next step in your football career. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Former Hawkeye, and yeah, still kind of weird to say that with this group of guys, but you go through it every year. Nate Budgeta joining us on the program, and Rob, you've probably heard him too. I wanted to ask him about Reese Morgan, because Reese, he loves finding those diamond in the rough guys. And over the last couple years, as we saw Budgeta emerge and play a pretty important role on the defensive line, every year at Media Day, Nate Budgeta's name would come up when Reese Morgan was talking about beating the bushes for guys that sort of looking under every rock, trying to find the guys that are overlooked by other programs. And he's sort of the latest example of that.
Reese calls him naturally leveraged. Because he's a smaller guy,
yeah,
kind of like a fire hydrant. He's if you look at Nate Meyer and Drew Ott, all from that Western Iowa, Nebraska 8-man football, all those guys, what they were able to do. But even Drew, Nebraska kind of was in on him late and showed interest. Nate Meyer started to get interest from other schools, but Nate Budgeta was really a guy that. People were like, why? Why is Iowa taking this kid? South Dakota State was his only other offer. And then at the end of the 5 years, we're like, oh, okay, that's why they took him. Because, You know, he's a kid that goes in there and works his butt off and made the most of his ability. And he really was. And Kirk was quick to mention him. Was it last week we had Kirk? Last Wednesday, when we were talking about, you know, how good the defensive line could be next year with everybody coming back. And Kirk was quick to point out, hey, we lose a pretty major piece of that.
Yeah. And a guy that probably doesn't leap to the front of the mind in the discussion of the NFL, but you never know. If he goes and puts up good numbers in front of the right people, maybe he's going to get an opportunity to be the next Iowa defensive lineman to go do big things. Now, speaking of Iowa and the NFL, Kyle's mentioned it on the big board updates today, this mock draft that came out today with Josh Jackson and James Daniels in the first round. Are you buying James Daniels as a possible first rounder?
Was this NFL.com's?
This was, yeah.
Okay.
And giving Daniels the benefit of the doubt that he could also play guard as well.
Yeah, and I don't think Mel Kiper had had James in the first round. I don't know about...
well, what does he know?
Mel Kuhn may have had him in the first
round. No, he's got his brother going top of the board.
But... yeah, I mean, I think when we had James on last week, he talked about getting a second-round grade, so that certainly wouldn't be out of the question that he could slip up into that first round.
It was 26 to Tennessee, which, so back end of the first round, but...
And Kirk said he felt that next year James could go in and play guard for somebody right away. So, and Kirk has a pretty good grasp on guys playing the offensive line position. So I certainly wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility that and the NFL, you only get so many spots. So if you have a guy that can play multiple positions, that's really, really valuable.
And while we're talking about the defensive linemen and the NFL, great to see Mike Daniels going to the pro, his first Pro Bowl, and getting a little recognition up there. A guy who, I go back to when he was drafted by Green Bay out of Iowa, never expected to see him have the type of success that he's had in the NFL.
Highland Regional High School, Blackwood, New Jersey, and two-star. And then Micah Hyde's going to the Pro Bowl as well, right?
Another two-star? If Marshall Yanda hadn't been injured this year, he probably would have been there as well. And he was a two-star, I think, out of junior college.
Yeah.
Coming into Iowa. For whatever reason, I'll never forget that story. His mom told him if he didn't want to work at Tyson's for the rest of his life, that he needed to get serious about school and apply himself to football. And that's what he did. And that guy is, hopefully he can come back and play a couple more years because he's on a Hall of Fame track.
I think he's in.
You think he's in right now? If his career ended right now, you think he's already in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither you nor I have a vote.
I don't have a vote, but
it doesn't matter.
That's my take. That's my hot take.
What about the Baseball Hall of Fame? That vote is going to be announced next week, right?
I'm troubled by the movement that Clemens and Bonds are making.
They're saying this could be the biggest class ever. You already got Morris and Trammell there. Chipper Jones, Vladimir Guerrero making good cases. A couple other guys picking up votes.
Chipper's a lock, I would think.
I would think.
I mean, he was one of the best players of his era. I think that's important, too. If you let Bonds and Clemens in, I think you just open the floodgates for everybody. And I don't know why they would be in. I think put Sosa in, Palmeiro.
Well, no, not if his clock resets. He's 53, wants to come out of retirement.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what a couple teams have basically said to him. But in my opinion, if you put the commissioner from that era in, you open the door, and he's in.
He was the ringleader.
Yeah, he willingly looked the other way. I don't think Bud Selig went to Michigan State, but 6:24, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, we'll get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update and close out the program, talk a little Hawkeye hoops tonight. Big game in Iowa City tomorrow between Iowa and Purdue. Can the Hawkeyes pull off the upset? What do they need to do in order to at least make it respectable tomorrow? 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Kickoff 2018 right at La Cantina. If it's football you love, catch all the championship games at any La Cantina location. Or pick up your favorites from La Cantina and take them home for your own viewing party. La Cantina has specials every day. And if you've made a resolution to eat better, La Cantina's light menu will hit the spot with healthier options of delicious favorites and even skinny margaritas. It's another great year for La Cantina Bar and Grill in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and downtown Cedar Rapids.
There are so many choices for a home loan. Options are crucial when it comes to a first-time home purchase, mortgage refinancing, or bill consolidation loan. Hi, I'm Dan Hillers with First Federal Credit Union. Being able to select the absolute best loan for your situation can literally save you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced homeowner, I promise to work to find the solution that is right for you. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Get great deals for all your home improvement needs during Menards Project Day Sale. Stop by our electrical department for big savings on new interior lights. Brighten your home with Patriot Lighting. The Bell Collection comes in an oil shale finish with Tiffany-style glass. The semi-flush ceiling light is only $79. The five-led chandelier is just $169. Save big during Menards Project Day Sale. Now through January 20th.
Save big money at Menards.
6:26, and no, a trip to Howells, Nebraska is not on the bucket list. I have never been there, confident in saying I will never be there before I die.
But population 500.
About 500. Remember, they used to give, not to switch from football to basketball, but remember when Jared Reiner and Brody Boyd used to have a competition to see whose town was smaller? Duggar, Indiana, against what? It was South Dakota.
Yeah, what town was he from in South Dakota?
Somewhere in South Dakota, but yeah. They were, which one had one stoplight and one had two stoplights, and those two used to go back and forth on small towns. But you don't necessarily have to be from the big city to have a big game. And Nate Budget have played very well for the Hawkeyes. We appreciate him joining us on the program tonight, especially on short notice. Rob's going to try to line Sean Welsh up. We have him next week.
Jared Reiner is from Mitchell, home of the Corn Palace.
Mitchell, South Dakota.
Have you been to the Corn Palace?
I have not.
Yeah, you're missing out, my man.
That's not where I played the non-conference game against no. Colorado. That was
they do have a basketball court in the Corn Palace, well, though. My son was amazed by that.
There you go. Fran can get to working on that for another trip. I know they did that earlier this year against Colorado when they went to Sioux Falls. 319-366-1600, that's the Hurteen and Stocker text line. Don't forget, stop on by KGYMradio.com today. Vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. What's our Super Bowl matchup going to be? We'll find out at the end of the weekend, and then it's 2 weeks of anticipation to Super Bowl 52 and the Twin Cities. Right now, Kyle's with us. He's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah released his initial mock draft today, and he's got former Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson slotted to go 22nd overall to the Buffalo Bills. And maybe somewhat surprisingly, he's also got former Hawkeye center James Daniels projected to go 25th overall to the Titans. He expects Daniels to rise up draft boards because of his potential to also play guard if need be. The Hawkeyes also announced today that the season ticket renewal process is underway online, with fans in the currently under construction North End Zone getting first priority. So if you're a season ticket holder, go ahead and get that taken care of. Former Cyclone point guard Monte Morris was called up to the Denver Nuggets earlier this week, and you'll have to find a way to watch the game, but you'll have a chance to watch him take on the Phoenix Suns tonight at 8. The UNI women are traveling to Drake tonight. Drake is undefeated in the MVC, but the Panthers are close behind at 4-2 and have won 5 of their last 7 overall. That game's going to tip off at 7. The Rough Riders are hosting the Team USA Under 18 team tonight. You can catch that game at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, also beginning at 7. Looking ahead to this weekend, Iowa is going to be hosting number 3 Purdue tomorrow beginning at 11, and Iowa State will be hosting number 8 Texas Tech. We'll be carrying that game on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, with coverage beginning at noon and tip-off set for 1, followed by the women hosting number 7 West Virginia at 6. Also, looking ahead to Sunday, we will have both NFL Conference Championships on all 3 frequencies, with coverage beginning at 1 o'clock.
As Kyle mentioned, a top 10 Big Ten team coming to town tomorrow to take on the Hawkeyes. There's a top 10 Big Ten game going on right now. Number 9, Michigan State, having no issues with Indiana at the Breslin Center. The Spartans up 29 to 15 on the Hoosiers. Miles Bridges with 8 points and one board early on for Michigan State. Can the Hawkeyes pull off the upset tomorrow against Purdue, or more appropriately, what can they do to make it a respectable ball game against the Boilermakers? 319-366-1600. We'll take a deep dive when we return after this.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour, honestly, is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. It's crazy. It's impossible. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer.
You don't have to put up with it anymore. Get a Zipa. It's so easy, and when you do, the snoring is gone.
Go to the Zipa website. You'll see hundreds of five-star reviews, even a new story about snoring devices, with Zipa being the only one that worked. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Don't be fooled by the knockoffs. Zipa's the only one with a patented tongue band. Go to ZYPPAH.com and get a Zipa. Easy to remember because Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
6:32, welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show, along with tonight Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. We neglected to congratulate Trent in Marion. He's our final winner of the World Championship Ice Racing tickets. That is coming to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena next Saturday night, the 27th. Tickets still available. You can get them at the U.S. Cellular Center box office in downtown Cedar Rapids or online. Details available on our website, kgymradio.com. Plenty more to get to tonight. Sad news to pass along. The Associated Press reporting that the late, great Tom Petty passed away due to an accidental overdose. The findings of the autopsy released today didn't see exactly what drug led to the overdose, but I know there were a lot of people out there that took the loss of Tom Petty hard last year, and that certainly doesn't help things hearing that. 319-366-1600. Plenty more to get to. Speaking of losing musicians, today would have been the 75th. Hard to believe, only 75. She would have been 75 today. Janis Joplin, one of my mom's favorite artists of all time. Extremely talented, and she's been gone a really long time, but it would have been her 75th birthday today. Let's talk Hawkeye hoops here, since we've got Rob captive in the studio for another 30 minutes. This is a big game tomorrow for Purdue, who wants to continue its winning ways. And you've got Iowa looking at a standing room only crowd at Carver Hawkeye Arena. They haven't been home in, it seems like, 2 weeks. It's been a 3-game road swing through the Big Ten. Coming off a loss of, I think, unforgivable, unexcusable, I don't know how you want to term it, but first time Rutgers has ever beaten Iowa on Wednesday night. What are your expectations tomorrow for the Hawkeyes and the Boilermakers? How does Iowa keep this at least respectable and maybe put itself in a position to win the game?
Logically, if you look at these two teams and how they're playing right now, this should not be anywhere close to being a competitive basketball game. But we see in sports all the time where things don't make sense and upsets happen.
Iowa, Ohio State.
Exactly. Took the words out of my mouth. You look back at that, and it can happen. It's just, can Iowa feed and off this crowd? And we got the guys today and Fran down at Carver, and you know they obviously understand this is a great opportunity for them to, if they want to make something out of this season, to get it started tomorrow with a win that would put them on the college basketball map, if only for a day, for being able to knock off a top five team. But obviously, it's more than just emotion and, you know, what that environment's going to be tomorrow. They have to play better basketball. They have to defend. They just, you look at what Purdue's done this year. Purdue gives up like 60 points a game in Big Ten play, and Iowa's giving up like 84 points a game in Big Ten play. So just from a, you know, from observing these two teams, it's hard to predict Iowa even playing a close game with them tomorrow.
I'll bring this up partly because of going back to Love It or Leave It, but Matt Painter did have a losing record in his eighth year. So going back to Fran McCaffrey and your Love It or Leave It about Fran, somebody on the text line said, come on, Rob, don't be an apologist for Fran McCaffrey.
I think that guy's on my message board.
Is he? Well,
and my Twitter feed.
It's a growing group. Oh. I wouldn't necessarily say it's anywhere close to being the majority of Iowa fans right now. But what do you make of this discontent with Fran McCaffrey, a guy who's gotten he's won 20 games a number of years. He's got Iowa back to the tournament a number of years, has turned the program completely around from where it was when he got here. And now, hey, we're losing games. Let's switch jockeys.
Yeah, I guess I would attribute it more to just kind of the landscape of sports right now, where it's what have you done for me lately? Like immediately, what have you just done for me? If you're not at the top of the heap, it's easy to just say let's move on. But as you said, the things that he's done here with a program that was in the toilet, he brought a team that hadn't been to the NCAA tournament in however many years. You know, how long was the drought? 8 years, something like that. Maybe it was longer than that, but between when Alford did it and he brought them back. I can't remember exactly. And I feel bad that I can't remember that, but he brought them to three in a row for the first time since the early 90s. So it's not like, you know, he's not doing things that we haven't seen around here in a while. He has been able to do that, and nobody's excusing, you know, the struggles that they've had this year. I think a lot of people are so upset because they didn't see it coming, but maybe we should have done a better job of looking at the roster and saying these could be some pitfalls of this team that could have happened this year that have happened. But I don't think you could just say, you know, he's done and this program is in the toilet and is not going to go anywhere. That's the second time I use toilet.
Let's go to the phone lines. John in Cedar Rapids. You can follow him, 319-366-1600. John wants to talk Hawkeye hoops. What's up, John? You guys, John? You with us, John?
Well,
John, go ahead.
I kind of heard the first part of the discussion about the Hawkeye game tomorrow in Purdue, what everybody felt about chances of winning this game. My opinion is zero chance, just because we don't play defense. Purdue attacks, and they will exploit that. And plus, they play defense themselves. So, I mean, I'm a big Hawk fan. I'm not a pessimist, but I'm a realist. And we have zero chance of winning this game tomorrow until Fran decides he wants to put an emphasis on defense. We play none. So that's my point. Bye.
All right, John in Cedar Rapids. Make it a And look, you can't deny that they have had their struggles defensively. And you get a team that's averaging about – you can't spot Purdue 85 points and figure out a way to score 90 against him. That's not a winning strategy now. Fran, I think, for the most part, has been pretty upfront in talking about the team's deficiencies. He knows that they've got to get better. We had Sherman Dillard on the program last week, and he said they know that they've got some issues defensively. The question is, how do they get better at this point?
I asked Fran about defense specifically today, and he gave me an answer that he's given me before and others before, in that it's almost like it's a scouting report thing, in that they're not only are they not connected, which is a word that's used a lot down there, meaning playing together, but they're not recognizing personnel for the other team. Who can shoot the ball well? You know, if a guy's shooting 45% from three and another guy's shooting 20, you don't treat them the same. You don't guard them the same out to the three-point line. And they have had trouble identifying that. I see it more. I think that's probably an issue, but it's more, to me, playing hard at times and moving. A lot of time, I mean, Rutgers is a pathetic offensive team, but they had wide open shots the other night.
Yeah.
Shots
and
that
then,
occasionally you and I might even be able to hit. Maybe.
That's you, Y-O-U, not talking about Northern Iowa. You got to be careful with some of the Panther fans out there. They look for any perceived slight. That's the disconcerting thing, is I think everybody realizes where Rutgers is at in the grand scheme of things from an offensive standpoint. And at times they're shooting threes, they don't even have a hand anywhere near their face. That's the kind of stuff that gets under people's nerves. And we got a couple season ticket holders texting on the Hurtin and Stocker text line right now that say they're frustrated. And how could you not be? But at the same point in time, this is sort of a transition year. And had they been this bad last year, as consistently as they have been this year, yeah, you're talking about ratcheting up the heat on Fran McCaffrey. He's starting to feel a little bit of it from the fans, but I think it's very premature at this point to start calling for somebody's head over this. I mean, it's been a bad year. I don't think anybody can deny that. But at the same point in time, I've got a real big issue with people saying get rid of him right now. I think he deserves some heat. There's
sure.
No, I mean, and if you would have said that a year ago about Fran McCaffrey, I think most of the fan base would have come after you. Leave the guy alone. Well, you know, he's great. Right? See, as you mentioned, you start losing games, and it's not what have you done for me lately. It's what have you done for me immediately yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with sports. I mean, it just, can you imagine if George Steinbrenner still owned the Yankees in 2018? Every three-game losing streak, you'd be trying to bring Billy Martin back.
And we see it in the SEC, especially football-wise. I mean, those guys get a couple years if they're not. I mean, it's the Saban effect, too, that he's doing so well that, and the Big Ten, I think you can relate to that, has some really, you know, historically strong basketball programs that Iowa's always measured to, and people expect Iowa to be, you know, whether it's rational or not, to be at the level of Michigan State. And Wisconsin certainly hasn't helped matters, because they have been really good and better than Iowa in football and basketball. And I hear a lot of people say, well, why can't we be Wisconsin? But not everybody can be Wisconsin. And Fran took off over a program, not like Bo Ryan did from Bennett, that was already doing really well. He took over a train wreck. And it's not like he hasn't had success. We talked about it. He made three NCAA tournaments in a row at a program that hadn't done that in over 20 years. And weren't they one of the first four teams out last year? So he was close to doing it again last year.
Yeah, if the schedule would have been just a tick harder,
right,
they probably get in last year.
So it wasn't like last year was a complete train wreck. This has been a tough year, and there certainly is room for criticism, as you said. They don't play defense, and that hasn't always been his strong suit in the 8 years that he's been here. And if I had one main criticism of this team and Fran, it would be roster makeup and not looking to balance the roster. To only have four guards this year is that, to me, is where the biggest problem is, and I think it could have been avoided.
And that is on the coach. That's the head
yes.
coach. He's the one who puts the roster together. And I agree with you. that's probably where the argument comes in. And you get Christian Williams, who leaves the day before the first exhibition game of the year, and then your plan of likely redshirting Connor McCaffrey goes by the wayside, and then a couple weeks into the season, he's having health issues and can't stay on the court, and it just spiraled from there.
And you look, even if, you know, let's, you know, look and say, what if Christian Williams doesn't transfer and Connor redshirts? You're still only looking at five guards, and you're looking at, you know, among those five guards, you know,
Brady, one point guard and four shooting guards.
Right, and Macy Daly, they're lucky that he's, you know, emerged as much as he did. He was a kid that, you know, was an afterthought last year. So there still should have been more balance on this roster, and we'll have to see what happens after this season. Currently, they don't have any open scholarships. I could see a guy like Brady Ellingson being a graduate transfer, but then you're taking away a guard to bring another guard in, and you're still short in the backcourt. Maybe there's somebody else who decides to move on after this year, but everybody's playing for the most part. He plays 11 guys, so it's not like people would leave for a lack of playing time.
Your thoughts on Hawkeye Hoops? 319-366-1600 as they ready for a very emotional day tomorrow at Carver Hawkeye Arena. 25 years ago tonight, Chris Street lost his life in an automobile accident when he pulled out in front of a snowplow in whiteout conditions, North Dodge Street. We had AC Earl on the program earlier today. You were not in Iowa at that point, right? That was a little bit before your time joining the Press Citizen.
Yes, I came in fall of 97.
So you tell me, as an outsider, only knowing of Chris Street in what you've heard from other people, your picture of Chris Street and what he means to this program.
I just think that he's, you know, that his memory has held this strong for this many years, even with, you know, and talking to guys like Jordan Bohannon and Cordell Pemsel, who grew up in this state, who weren't born when this tragedy happened, how impactful he is on them just from stories they've heard and talking to the family, you know, things that they've heard and read. I think that speaks a lot to what type of guy Chris was, not just as a basketball player and, you know, his energy and enthusiasm, what he brought in that regard, but just to everyday life. And I think there was a story in Rick Brown's book. I was flipping through it today where after a high school game, when he was playing quarterback at Indianola, he actually went to the other team's locker room to congratulate them.
Yeah, he told that story on the gym class today. Scott and Mark. Yeah.
I mean, that just kind of speaks to the time. That's pretty heady stuff for a high school kid to be in that frame of mind.
And then that group of kids, and we talked about this with AC, pulling itself together, going to Michigan State with a heavy heart and Judd Heathcoat, and always a difficult place to play, and winning that first game back, and then the first game at Carver Hawkeye Arena, you're taking on the Fab Five, and you beat them 88-80, and everybody rushes the court, and they go in and find the game ball and give it to Mike Street, and Mike and Patty Street were there, and just the emotion. We had the Jim Zobel radio call on the beginning of the broadcast today from WHO, back in the day before it was just one radio call, and I wish I had some of the other radio broadcasts, but just the emotions of that team coming together. And I don't know whether you caught AC Earl earlier today or not, but basically he said that it wasn't so much Tom Davis bringing the team together as the head coach, but it was the guys leaning on one another. And he credited Wade Looking Bill, chief among those guys, as sort of being the guy who stood up and pulled everybody together. But, you know, Kenyon Murray, who's best friends with Chris Street, named his son after him. AC Earl, who was a young player at the time, still saying positive things, positive recollections about Chris Street. And yeah, 25 years later, he's still a part of the program, very much so, to the point that they are honoring him tomorrow. And it should be a very emotional day. 11 a.m. tip-off, standing room only, a top five, top three Purdue Boilermaker team coming to town. And everybody's talking about the underdog role in the NFC Championship game this week with the Philadelphia Eagles, but I think the Hawkeyes are going to be wearing that underdog chip on their shoulder tomorrow. It's just a question of whether or not they can get off to a good start. And I think that's the key. If they can run with Purdue early on, I think that could give them a little bit of confidence moving forward. But if Purdue comes out, grabs an early lead, or if this game turns into a game of runs, as it did at Piscataway Wednesday night, where Iowa goes 9-0 and then Rutgers goes 12-0, that's probably not the recipe for success tomorrow.
No, it sets up for one of those memorable days if Iowa can pull this off. You've got the crowd. You've got nobody expecting them to win. You've got the memory of Chris Street. That all could come together. But then when you tear all that away, can this Iowa team put it together enough? Are they capable of beating this Purdue team that's playing at such a high level? And I saw an interview the other day on the Big Ten Network with Mathias talking about their class and you know, this group of upperclassmen at Purdue. They were able to finally win at Michigan. They haven't won at Carver either, so they're really motivated to win tomorrow. And one thing for Purdue, Matt Painter played with Chris Street on Big Ten All-Star traveling team when they were in college together. They knew each other pretty well. So I don't think the meaning of this day is going to be lost on Purdue, because their head coach can tell them what it's about.
Three, and they're going to walk past the Chris Street plaque on the Iowa locker room on the way in. Three of the next four at home for the Hawkeyes. You got Purdue tomorrow, Wisconsin Tuesday, then Iowa goes to Nebraska next Saturday, and then two Tuesdays from now, Minnesota comes to town with Richard Pitino. So this is a big stretch for a basketball team that, not going to the NCAA tournament, but still playing for pride and playing to, tomorrow they're playing spoiler, but over the next three, four games, they're playing to prove to a lot of people that there's still a reason to be in their corner at this point in the season.
And Nebraska's playing well. They knocked off Michigan last night at home. They're playing better.
You know who's not playing well? Michigan State, Indiana right now against Michigan State. The Spartans shooting 60% from the floor and 57% from beyond the arc.
They're taking out their frustrations on
with Alex Rodriguez in the student section.
He inspired them. He inspired them. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, Todd, I think it's safe to say this is a rebuilding year for Iowa basketball. And the important word in there is build. They need to start building towards next year.
Yeah.
And get some momentum.
I guess
going
that's
into
a good,
next year.
That's a good way to say what this stretch of the schedule is about here. It's start to show a little bit of the foundation poking through out of the hole and give people a reason to show up. Otherwise, there aren't going to be too many standing room only nights at Carver Hawkeye Arena the rest of the way out if Purdue wins by 40 tomorrow.
No, and you've got you know a game against Wisconsin on Tuesday that people used to really look forward to.
It's a 6 o'clock start too.
And they're really struggling as well, Wisconsin. So
yeah, I guess you could say the changing of the guard did not do them much good there. 6 o'clock start on a Tuesday night, though, going to be tough to fill Carver Hawkeye Arena for that one. But a victory tomorrow over Purdue would go a long way toward doing that. We will step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll have our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. And then when we come back, we'll let you know what you're going to win with us next week on the Todd Brownlow Camp Show. Back with more after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DuPaco member? Join today in branch or online at DuPaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
At TCB Pool Hall in Iowa City, there won't be any jerks hanging over your shoulder screwing up your shot because they rent their full-size, emphasize full-size pool tables by the hour. And they got 10 of them, so that table's yours. Sunday and Mondays come in and play free. Yes, I said free. General jocularity prevails. There's always interesting drinks, specials, darts, video games, and a full-size shuffleboard table, which, as we know, is the world's best drinking game. Play pool, drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall on the Ped Mall next to Mondo's Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The majority of our listeners think we are headed for a Patriots and Vikings Super Bowl. You've still got time to vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. But that's where we stand. You can hear those games this weekend right here on KGYM. You can also hear some high school hoops coming up tonight. Kyle will tell you all about that and more. Our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah released his initial mock draft today, and he's got former Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson slotted to go 22nd overall to the Buffalo Bills. And maybe somewhat surprisingly, he's got former Hawkeye center James Daniels projected to go 25th overall to the Titans. He expects Daniels to rise up draft boards because of his potential to also play guard if needed. The Hawkeyes also announced today that the season ticket renewal process is underway online, with fans in the currently under construction north end zone getting first priority. So if you're a season ticket holder, go ahead and get that taken care of. Former Cyclone point guard Monte Morris was called up to the Denver Nuggets earlier this week, and you'll have to find a way to watch the game, but you can see him take on the Phoenix Suns tonight at 8. The UNI women are traveling to Drake tonight. Drake is undefeated in the MVC, but the Panthers are close behind at 4-2 and have won 5 of their last 7 overall. That game's going to tip off at 7. The Rough Riders are hosting the Team USA under 18 team tonight. You can catch that game at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena tonight, also beginning at 7. Looking ahead to this weekend, Iowa will be hosting number 3 Purdue beginning at 11. Iowa State's also going to be hosting number 8 Texas Tech. We'll be carrying that game on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, with coverage beginning at noon and tip-off set for 1 o'clock, followed by the women hosting number 7 West Virginia at 6. Also, looking ahead to Sunday, we're going to have both NFL Conference Championships on all 3 frequencies, with coverage beginning at 1 o'clock.
Coming up next week here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show, we're going to have an opportunity for you to take home gift certificates to the Field House here in Cedar Rapids, Monday through Friday. We got the return of the KGYM road trip. Mac McCausland will be with us on Monday's show, hopefully talking about an Iowa win over Purdue. John Walters will be with us, hopefully talking about an Iowa State win over Texas Tech. 12.5, the number. Purdue favored by the Hawkeyes tomorrow. Rob, appreciate it as always. Great stuff. Enjoy your weekend and hope to hear from you on Monday. High school basketball on the way.
So, how do you like being a new dad?
Wow. No, it's...
Amazing, right?
Totally, but expensive.
Get used to it. You got life insurance, right?
I've only got so much money.
What'd you pay for that coffee?
I don't know, a couple of bucks?
Listen, I'm 34, and I got $750,000 in life insurance for under a dollar a day. That's way less than you put out for that mocha latte.
Seriously? How?
I went to SelectQuote.com. They shop highly rated insurance companies to find your best rates.
Well, I need to protect my family. If SelectQuote can find me rates like that, that's one less thing to worry about.
Exactly.
Give your family the protection it needs at a price you can afford. To see how affordable life insurance can be for you, go to SelectQuote.com or call 800-747-6699. That's 800-747-6699. 800-747-6699. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe...